Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my goodness gracious. Well, guess what? We're going to start with a song, give everybody time to catch up. Here's how this goes. Has anybody really woke up and realized what all the fun and games is that's going on? Well, if you have, or you're in the process of getting woke up, you might want to consider what this song says. Song says it pretty succinctly. All right. I thought Civil War II was not going to happen, but I'm going to tell everybody to prepare anyway. There's a reason for that, and I'll get into that as the show goes on. No justice, no peace. Now it's our turn. Ooh. Armed and armored people are ready to visit. Think about that. I posted this on the show thing. We'll see how it goes. Well, there's a huge number of legalities by a thing called Judicial Watch, and we are winning. Think about that very carefully. Expect results by October. That's my suggestion, okay? Just before the election. Imagine that. Just in time to cause a lot of people to think about what they're doing in terms of their vote and which way they want things to go. Now, I got a we that is, I made into a royal we. It's got red lines all over it, quotation marks and all that. We have a problem with Governor Kate Brown for violating her agreement to police rioters. Well, you didn't send in but minimal police, and that's a problem. As the Marxists said, they moved to the suburbs. About 30 miles, a riot some 30 miles from Portland took place. Police who were there did the best they could. I didn't see too many protesters bleeding too bad, so I don't guess they got real nasty. But my recommendation is simple. Crack their friggin' skulls. Maybe you'll hit them hard enough that their computer will reset and they get some kind of sense in their head. Or maybe you could hold them down and pour it in their ear. There's variations. This is why I say get ready for Civil War II. These people are deciding to play games. They tried little towns, small towns. Everybody and their mother-in-law come out with a gun and arrested all of them. All of them. Not just one or two. All of them. So they decided, well, maybe we can just play with the suburbs. Okay, suburbanites, you better consider that you're now on the menu. Think in terms of a larger group. By preparation, there's a lot that goes into that. Think in terms of a larger group. Simply pushing the riders out, and you get the picture. This is not something that is rocket scientist level, and it ain't something that's real extraordinary. It's happened time and time again. Now, some of these armed protesters, and I'm using that word loosely, and I'm sorry if it bothers somebody that is a real protester, but here's how it is. There was an armed group of protesters, and they got met with an armed group of, we ain't having that crap. And they were also equally armed, body armor a whole bit. And the protesters protesters decided that they didn't like the idea of being shot, so they left. And I liked that. I thought that was appropriate. Nobody got killed. Nobody got shot. No severity of that level. Now, as I said, a huge number of legal things are going on, mostly extreme investigations behind the scenes. Everybody wonders what's happening. Well, they're trying to make sure that nobody screws up what they're doing in the process of doing it. That's why I don't say a lot about some things that I know all about. And I mean in extreme and extraordinary detail. The proofs and evidence is extraordinarily damning. Documents, video, and recordings, among other things. They also got a large number of witnesses. I've seen him do it. Now, I don't know who all this might be, but some will be shocked by the known names. And some of the indictments carry arrest warrants. Ooh-wee. You mean they're going to lock them up? Hey, you get to go to the CUDA. So this will be the biggest. And I'm not embellishing anything here. I'm just telling you what is about to take place. This will be the biggest legal purge in American history. And I know where it's coming from, who's got the goods on people and all this other stuff. And believe me, you ain't going I think it's going to be similar to the Keystone Cops getting to meet a bunch of Navy SEALs. We'll see how this goes, but my suggestion is that they ain't got much leeway. They don't have no wiggle room. You're fried. You act right. If you don't act right, they will take you to jail. That's how this is going. Legal purge in American history? Oh, really? Well, let's smack it real hard. Add to that the legal challenges, and you can see that our legal system is going to be on spin cycle. We're about ready to... you've heard the term landing on somebody with your combat boots. Well, I'm going to recommend something here. I don't normally recommend things, but in this particular case, I'm going to recommend this particular thing. I recommend Verdict. That's the name of the publication. That's from Judicial Watch. Get your copy so you know what they are up to. Believe me, they've been busy, busy, busy. Now, federal court, Montgomery County, Maryland, cash payments to illegals, likely unlawful. Well, they are unlawful. Ooh, now here's everybody's been jumping up and down about this. Everybody wants to ensure voting rights, security of the vote itself, and other little minor things that enter into there. And Trump's been jumping up and down saying, hey, you know, what the hell's the matter with you people? Well, Judicial Watch has a tendency to jump into things before anybody notices what's happening. And JW, that's Judicial Watch, sues to stop California Governor Newsom's vote-by-mail mandate. Now, I'm going to give you a little history. Back in the day, in the 50s, unfunded mandates, thou shalt kind of crap, were commonplace. And then people started finding out that they didn't have to put up that crap. So they started fighting back, whether it was court or, you know, screw off or whatever the case may be. In May, Judicial Watch filed a lawsuit to stop the statewide vote-by-mail mandate issued by California Governor Gavin Newsom. Now, a lot of people miss things, okay? And some of the things that are missed are the illegalities that are perpetrated by people who think they are in charge. Hello, Governor. Under federal law, certain categories of aliens, including unlawfully present aliens, are ineligible for state or local public benefits. Ooh, got a basis for this illegal, unlawful dipping into our tax funds. If a state chooses to provide such benefits to unlawfully present aliens, it must. Not, they ain't no, you know, wiggle room. Must enact a state law affirmatively providing for such eligibility. I get into legal things a lot, and some of it is really nice. the program violates federal law because the Maryland state legislature has not authorized Montgomery County to provide these benefits to unlawfully present aliens. Ooh. Now here's another overview of what's going on. The coronavirus challenge doesn't give politicians a pass to violate the law. If politicians want to use tax money from law-abiding taxpayers and send cash payments to illegal aliens, and yeah, you an illegal, whether you like that name or not, they must be accountable and transparent, and as federal law requires, pass a state law to do so. Ain't done none of that. He just thought it would, Newsom just thought it would be cute to do whatever he wanted. Well, that's Montgomery County, Maryland, okay? And JW stops it. Sues to stop California vote by mail mandate. Well, there's a law about this. Just to watch complaint argues that Newsom's executive order, that's the mail by vote by mail mandate, N-64-20, requiring all California counties to conduct all mail-in ballot elections, violates the U.S. Constitution and California state law. According to the U.S. Constitution, only state legislatures may determine the times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives. And only state legislatures may establish the manner in which electors to the Electoral College are appointed. The lawsuit points out that neither defendant in this case is a legislature, as required under the Constitution, and the California legislature never delegated to Newsom its authority under the Elections Clause or Electors Clause to regulate the manner of conducting elections for senators, representatives, presidential electors. Ooh, Newsom's mandate violates the California Voter Choice Act of 2016, which grants counties the option to qualify for and opt into a system of mail-in voting. Oh, my goodness. Lawsuit alleges the plaintiffs will be harmed by Newsom's mandate for all mail-in voting because it imposes an entirely new election system that ignores the extensive qualifications required by California law before a county can opt in to all mail-in balloting. Just Watch argues its plaintiffs will be at risk of having their votes thrown out or diluted by invalid votes under Newsom's illegal system. You have to understand what all is involved in this, but that should be pretty good. Now, here's the last little blurb on this subject. California law prohibits blindly mailing out ballots to every registered voter in the state. This scheme raises the risk of Election Day chaos as well as voter fraud. Oops. See what I'm saying? I mean, now, there's another one here. Testimony before the House Judiciary Committee, Committee Constitution Subcommittee. Judiciary Committee Constitution Subcommittee. Here's how this goes. They're saying, they got a ballot box sitting out in somebody's official ballot drop-off box in California for mail-in voting. Well, excuse you, but we stand 6 feet apart or relative to that at grocery stores and a bunch of other things. I will suggest that we might want to consider doing the same at the ballot box. Ooh. The Supreme Court has noted, regardless of the prevalence of fraud, states have an obvious, legitimate interest in counting only the votes of eligible voters and in carefully identifying all voters participating in the election process. Everybody needs to, that's understandable. National Voting Rights Act is something everybody needs to look up and get familiar with. NVRA data provided to the Election Assistance Commission in 2019 showed hundreds of U.S. counties with voter lists containing more registered voters than there are citizens over the age of 18. Oops. Over 100%? No, it don't work that way, guys. Counties throughout the country have high numbers of inactive registrations that have not been canceled. They need to be canceled. This is called purging or cleaning the registration rolls. Registration becomes inactive when a registrant is sent and fails to respond to an address confirmation notice. If that registrant does not vote or otherwise contact election officials for the next two general federal elections from 2 to 4 years, that registration is canceled. And that's the law. My. So, insisting on all mail ballot elections seems less like a response to a health crisis and more like a partisan application of the immortal words of Rahm Emanuel: never let a good crisis go to waste. We're going to have fun with this stuff. Mail-in ballot fraud. Okay. A West Virginia postal worker was indicted for manipulating eight voters' absentee ballots. 2019 Oakland County Clerk outside Detroit, Michigan, was charged with illegally altering 193 absentee ballots. A Minneapolis, Minnesota man was charged with helping 13 others falsify absentee ballots ahead of the 2018 election. Ooh. In 2017, a Dallas County, Texas man was convicted after 700 mail-in ballots were witnessed and signed by a fictitious person. Ooh, North Carolina's 9th congressional district race, a scheme was run to steal 1,200 absentee ballots and fill them out in a race that was decided by only 900 votes. This is the kind of self-interested partisan game playing that causes American voters to react with disgust at how we conduct our elections. So, you know, this ain't going to be pretty. When I said that the election is, or that the judicial system's going on a spin cycle, I ain't kidding. Ooh, court report. Oh, boy. Hillary Clinton resists court order to produce lawyer's memo on email search. Well, guess what, baby cakes? The court scheduled a hearing on the matter for June 2nd. And you just watch uncovered in 2014 that the talking points which provided the basis for false statements by then U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Susan Rice, were created by the Obama White House. Hey, big O, you're about to find out how dirty your underwear really is. In December 2018, U.S. District Court Judge Royce C. Lambert ordered discovery. People had acted in bad faith. Hello, State Department. And they hadn't adequately searched for records. were unresponsive to Judicial Watch request. Court also authorized discovery into whether the Benghazi controversy motivated the cover-up of Clinton's email. Now, think about it. Everything's been coming out. Clinton refused to produce any part of the memo, alleging that it was fully exempt from disclosure under the attorney work product doctrine. Nope. Earlier ruling, the court held that any contemporaneous documents shedding light on the three narrow discovery topics, even documents evincing attorney impressions, conclusions, opinions, and theories, constitute fact, work, product, and should be produced. Oh, talk about losing it. This is a rare Freedom of Information Act deal, but it's valid and it's working. Memo is protected by the attorney product doctrine? No, it's not. Clinton attorneys also do not explain why her emails were deleted. Huh. Well, guess what? Despite the reasonable anticipation of litigation rather than preserved, my goodness. Then you got some problems. Cheryl Mills, chief of staff, David Kendall. Oh, They are being looked into by proctologists that love looking in your underwear when it comes to legal matters. Hillary Clinton doesn't want the court and the American people to know the full truth about her destruction of 33,000 emails. So, on March 2nd, 2020, Judge Lambert granted Judicial Watch an additional discovery that includes testimony under oath by Clinton and her former chief of staff, Cheryl Mills, regarding Clinton's emails and the Benghazi attack records. Ooh, April. That was March. Here's April. Judicial Watch in the State Department, which is represented by Justice Department lawyers, filed responses opposing Clinton's and Mills' writ of mandamus request to overturn this court order, requiring their testimonies. They lost. Ooh. You're going to have to testify, and you better be right about it. April 10th, served a subpoena on Google LLC, which was authorized by the court, demanding that it produce all emails, including metadata from a Google account believed to contain former Secretary of State Clinton's emails. The subpoena demands that Google produce all Clinton emails, including metadata, sent or forwarded to or from or saved, stored, archived, or contained in the Gmail account identified as, and they go through and tell you what it is. Google later responded to the subpoena, and the Judicial Watch team is now analyzing the data. So there's things in process. Now we got this corruption chronicles. Most of Facebook censorship board has ties to left-wing billionaire George Soros. When are they going to arrest that dinglebat? His Open Society foundations have been thrown out of at least a half a dozen countries, along with himself, from what I have come across. And they have listed here, former British newspaper editor and principal at Oxford University, a human rights attorney in West Africa, an Indian lawyer and civil society activist. What does it take? Director of Paris-based nonprofit Internet Sans Frontiers. I mean, this is what George Soros is buying. Knight Dad is a Pakistani attorney and founder of the Digital Rights Foundation. Ronald Lemos, a Brazilian law professor, served on the board of directors of the Mozilla Foundation. That kind of worried me for a minute. Tackle Carmen, a journalist and civil rights activist, sits on the advisory board of Transparency International. Helle Thorning-Schmidt, Denmark's former prime minister, sits on the board of the European Council of Foreign Relations. He got money from this nasty. I mean, and it goes on, at least 11 members of the Facebook Oversight Board. I want everybody to understand this. At least 11 members of the Facebook Oversight Board, content judges, these are the people that wipe you out when they think it's fun to do so, are connected to leftist groups tied to Soros that have benefited from his generous donations. I mean, Catalina Botero Marina, dean of Columbia Law School, Jesus. I mean, Maina Kai is director of Global Alliances and Partnership in Human Rights Watch. Others on the Facebook board have slandered President Trump in social media posts and donated money to high-profile Democrats. For example, Taiwanese communications professor. Twitter account includes retweets of numerous anti-Trump and pro-Obama posts and articles. Nick Souza, a law professor in Australia, retweeted a column implicitly comparing Trump to Hitler. I mean, Columbia University law professor Jamal Green has made campaign contributions to Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Warren. Pro-Trump impeachment advocate, Stanford law professor Pamela Carlin took a cheap shot at the president. I mean, by way of his teenage son during the Kavanaugh hearings. I mean, it goes on. It just ain't nice. My. City pays Antifa militant who praises cop killers for wound received during a riot. Well, I hate to tell you this. City, you're wrong, first. Number two, so's this dink. City and civil and constitutional rights are suspended in a mob. You go in there and riot, you lose your protections. Antifa militant and public celebrates attacks on law enforcement is getting a cash settlement from Big U.S. City. After claiming in a federal lawsuit that his civil rights were violated during a violent protest with his fellow extremists. Dude, I should have cracked your head a little harder. In May, the Portland City Council agreed to pay this dude $23,000. Now, I have limitations, and that's way over the top. Using an alias in his Antifa writings on social media, prominent Communist Party member Jack Johnstone. Ooh. Oh, when he asserts he posed no threat of violence. That's a lie, dude. The video could straighten that out. Reports have been confirmed Maddox has been arrested several times during violent Antifa protests in Portland. Give him money because elected official will not stand up to him. Now, that sounds like a bunch of cowards to me. Ooh, uncovered. I think you ought to like all this that's going on. JW forces release FBI memo launching Obama spy operation on Trump. The IG report, FBI testimony show President Obama was aware of Crossfire Hurricane. Ooh, former Deputy Assistant FBI Director Peter Strzok. They had a picture of him. Still with the NFA, counterterrorism experts at the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, are increasingly concerned about violence perpetrated by Antifa supporters at public rallies where they confront their ideological opponents. Well, how about take some action? Bring out the batons. Crack some skulls. I guarantee you this stuff will change. Okay, here's in the media. Watch President Tom Fitton on Lou Dobbs. Yeah, well, Fitton, true voter suppression, and pay attention to this. True voter suppression is telling Americans they may die from coronavirus if they vote in person. That's a crock of shit. It's a big, big lie. So you have to understand what's going on in order to, you know, really get this together. The memo shows there was no serious basis for the Obama administration launching unprecedented spy operation on the Trump campaign. No serious basis. No evidence. Ooh. This document shows how Attorney General Barr and U.S. Attorney Durham are right to question the predicate of this spy operation. Now, Barr is a bulldog. Durham has been shown to be his pit bull. Now, illegal immigrants. State and federal laws prohibit extending unemployment benefits to illegal immigrants, period. So, and that's a light cover. I didn't go into it in depth. But it shows some of the fun and games. It really, what is this? What the hell's going on here? There we go. Something blacked out my whiz banger. I have three magazines, a couple of which don't have a lot in them, and I will be covering them. Now, I have stipulated that if we stand together, we can stop all this horse hockey. Well, think about this. we are going to have to stand up to these warmongering, bogus people. And I'm talking about en masse. Bring a metal trash can lid for your shield and go pushing on them. You need to get enough of them pushed, then you can walk on them while they're down. I mean, you want to get funky? That's one of the ways to do this. Now, when I get done with the magazines, and it won't take just a few minutes, you have to understand that I am going to summarize some of the stuff everybody's been asking me about. How come you don't put any intel on there? Well, I guess you're going to get some today. So, listen to the song and enjoy. We'll be right back. as I've stipulated, in many small towns, they tried this stuff in varying states. A group of nasties would arrive and want to tear up the town. Well, guess what? Most all of them, I mean damn near everyone, went to jail. All the citizens come out with their shotguns or whatever it took. I'm talking about little old ladies with a walker, and I got a 12-gauge over the laid on front of it. And, you know, they're not going to take it. Now, the news likes to play games with words. And I'm going to read this once and get this correct. Portland protesters and agents in violent clashes. Oh, federal agents actually won't let them burn down federal courthouses and stuff. Well, I changed that word protesters. I scratched it out. Portland rioters and agents in violent clashes. What happened? After a week of escalating confrontation between protesters and federal agents, I said a federal courthouse in Portland, Oregon, Governor Kate Brown said this week that the Department of Homeland Security has agreed to phased withdrawal of its officers. Acting DHS Secretary Chad Wolf cautioned, however, that any pullback was contingent on significant, and that's in quotations, improvement in the security situation in the city, where protesters' numbers have swelled over the past week in opposition to the federal presence. That's horse hockey. I marked it as BS, which is what it is. While thousands of Black Lives Matter demonstrators have gathered peacefully in Portland by day, at night, the scene at the courthouse has grown intense and violent. Activists throwing rocks, cans, launching fireworks, setting fires, while agents emerge to fire tear gas, stun grenades, and rubber bullets. Well, somebody's busy, got their protection over their heads and everything. I saw them in a video trying to cut the fence. Stick one of them rubber bullet 12 gauges in there and give them a face full of it. I guarantee you they won't be back. Oh, you can't do that. Want to bet? Yes, you can. Demonstrators spurred by the Portland standoff spread across the U.S. over the weekend, with police protesters clashing in L.A., Chicago, Richmond, Virginia, and Aurora, Colorado. In Seattle, police used pepper spray and flash grenades to clear some 2,000 protesters galvanized by the presence of federal agents sent into the city to quell anticipated violence. Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin, one of six mayors, called on Congress on Monday to bar the use of federal troops in cities that haven't requested them, called the use of paramilitary-type forces in U.S. cities textbook despotism. Well, horse manure. You ain't got the guts to get off your fat butt and legislate or govern, and you're going to blame somebody else. Trump's incursion to Portland is an act of stunning overreach. No, it ain't. When you abdicate, and I had a show on this, when you abdicate your power, your authority, your position, you lose all of the above. They're not wanted by politicians who are in line with the protesters, better known as rioters. If Democratic mayors don't like what's happening in Portland, they should get off their duffs and start governing. That's Washington Examiner. So-called peaceful protests and millions in property damage set the police union headquarters on fire, laid siege to a courthouse, and fired on law enforcement with slingshots and air rifles. If ineffectual local officials desperate to placate the anti-police mob, oh, please don't hurt me, I'll bend my knee, won't crack down on these anarchist rioters, someone else must. Uh-huh. The Atlantic is a bunch of liars. Most of these columnists play this same game. They Portland protesters instead of what they are, which is rioters. The stormtrooper comparisons are absurd, they said in National Review. The federal deployment in Portland is plainly legal, justified, and proportionate. The agent's right to protect federal property from a violent mob is unquestionable. And think about that very carefully. The off-site arrest seized on the hyperventilating critics as rogue abductions were prudent police work. To wade into a crowd to arrest a lawbreaker is to invite danger. Well, they're already dangerous. Peaceful protests? Yeah, right. Let the riots rule, huh? Is that what this is about? Now, anybody who didn't watch it should have. Barr battles Democrats from Capitol Hill defense. That interrogation was statements. They didn't ask the man a question in forever. There are a bunch of things in this magazine that I'm not going to cover. It gets U.S. troops out of Germany. Then Germany is going, oh, you can't do that. You want to bet? Cameron Diaz, lady, you got it going on. Keep up the good work. You left Hollywood. That's major. School kids and coronavirus. There isn't any. Kids don't get that stuff. Got it? Now, if you're really concerned about it, how about a dose of tonic water when they go to school every morning? I mean, you want to get this right, let's do it right. Tonic water contains quinine, which is an antigen to this stupid viral horse hockey everybody's playing with. I mean, my. Major League Baseball, would it shut down sports? It already did. There's a whole bunch of people that are not willing to put up with the horse manure of bowing down to some BLM mob ideology of ruling in the same manner that Hitler and these others have done. Think about that. So, and Cortez, Ocio Cortez, the Democrats' future, God help us. My. OAC is trying to make me look bad. This is a pig pen now. Effing witch. Oink, snort. Grab her by the... Two people sitting on the porch after while the house is burning. The kids are acting up again. Relax, it's just a peaceful protest. And get cars turned upside down, house on fire. It's a hit to center field. Jones rounds first and hits for second. He slides and collapses with Diaz. Maybe there'll be a delay of game while Jones and Diaz get swabbed. They got the plan to open schools. There's a little nice. These are jokes. Mask not what your country can do for you. Mask what you can do for your country. What is in it for me? We will not be muzzled. Now, they got this little sandcastle and a tsunami COVID surge. Ooh. These people got more horse hockey than they do than they've got good sense. They don't report the facts unless they can bend them, turn them around, and use them as a weapon against you. That's right, the individual citizen. My. Ooh, pregnant and worried. What to know about COVID risks? You don't know enough to put an article out like that, dinks. And everybody wants you to live in different places around the country. Utah, no. deal falters over unemployment aid. Well, Trump has told them to get their shit together, work out a deal, or he's going to use executive orders to continue. He doesn't care about your political horse hockey. He cares about the people. Think about that very carefully. You don't have any skin in the game on politics. What he has is skin in the game in terms of making sure that this comes out the way it's supposed to. I don't like some of the things he does, the way he acts, and all that happy stuff like everybody else. But show me what's better. Oh, my. It don't get better. It gets worse. What do you expect? These people are out to do a number on everybody they can. The nation. a Marxist publication. Ah, boy. Let's see what this one. Ooh, it's got a Mickey D's golden arches with a couple of angry-looking eyeballs in it. Guess where that goes. Letters. Demilitarize the police. Horse shit. Imagine not having any cops. You think that the crooks are going to give care about your rights or your situation? How to move Biden left. Already has. I mean, you know, we're covering this quick because there's not much there. Now we got some fun. I told you about evictions and all this other happy stuff, foreclosures and all that. Guess what? Eviction resistance. Eviction is on its way. Fighting for black housing is fighting for black lives. That's a lie. Her straight up illegal eviction took up a part of our lives is illegal lockouts. They changed locks. Equity for Flatbush, anti-gentrification, anti-police brutality. That night, almost 100 people had assembled outside the house to ensure the tenants could stay. And guess what? Expiration of a few protections didn't help. 23 million, now think about this, 23 million renters are at risk of eviction. A pair of white landlords, mostly black, mostly female, queer, trans tenants, they were trying to push out of their homes. Ooh, Legal Aid Society jumped in and screwed it up even worse. Informed the landlord. You got to do the, got to, that it is illegal to evict anyone in New York State without due process. That's true, whether it's New York State or not. Okay, there were no marshals present. Tenants had not been served, and the courts were closed to new eviction cases. Well, maybe they need to reopen the courts, whether the judges and whatnot like it or not. It's not going. This is not going to be pretty. And the reason it's going to be nasty is very simple. That is that you have a lot of people that have investments in properties that are rentals, and they're going to foreclose. Just that simple. Then we got Ellie Mistel. Ellie is usually has her stuff together better than what she does in this particular article. She missed it. As legends like John Lewis pass away, it's up to us to tend the flame they lit. Does that mean keep the riots going? I mean, as these elders die and become ancestors, I wonder if my generation is ready to become the new elders. I doubt it. And the reason I doubt it, very seriously, is simply that it's not possible. Why is it not possible? Because then people won't listen to reason. An unhappy family. Kathy Pollitt. Oh, if you want kids only to perpetuate your empire, do the world a favor and stay childless. Oh, that's a nice answer. An unhappy president. President's niece dishes the dirt on her Uncle Donald. Not really. There's nothing in that that is even close to what it should be. Now, fast food. Like I said, Mickey D's arches with a couple of really mad-looking eyeballs in it has a real sexual harassment problem. Mickey D's. Gotcha. Well, employees have a real problem. They don't matter. If they give a shit, they'd stop that stuff. And they think it's cute and entertaining, and you know, it's simple. These people have been all the way through everything, and none of their management they don't care, you know. And it's a pretty long article, according to 24 legal complaints reviewed by the Nation. It's a systemic problem. And they got several people that testify as to what all happened to them. There's a little response, if any at all. Instead of the harassers being facing discipline, punishment is often meted out to the victims. Ah, the victim did it, yep. Such retaliation was not an isolated incident. get your hours reduced, get your shift changed to where you can't get there, and all this other happy. I couldn't handle the aggravation, so I just left. Now, some people are in a position where they can just walk. Most aren't. A number of women describe the same experience, being filled with dread at the very thought of going to their jobs, being exposed to more harassment. They cut her hours from 35 to 21 in order to avoid shifts with her harasser. On strike, 2018, McDonald's workers took part in the first nationwide strike against sexual harassment in the fast food industry. So it ain't just Mickey D's. They picked on Mickey D's because it is front and center. This goes on. Sexual harassment is not unique to McDonald's. In 2016, 40% of women in non-managerial fast food jobs say they had experienced unwanted sexual behavior at work. McDonald's appears to be of a different degree. Three-quarters said they had experienced harassment at work. Half were subjected to sexual comments. A third were touched, groped, or fondled. 12% were sexually assaulted or raped. Many experienced these things multiple times. Little Caesars, they mention it, is different. There was an anonymous hotline that employees could call with concerns. If someone made use of it, a human resources representative would respond the next day. Ooh. McDonald's employees have been trying to make themselves heard, filed a series of lawsuits starting in 2016, including 10 complaints with the EEOC and 25 legal actions in 2019, as well as a class action lawsuit in Michigan, now in discovery in federal court. That includes these people that were complaining. 10 cities in 10 cities at the end of 2018. They staged the country's first ever national strike against sexual harassment. 7% of McDonald's global locations are owned by the company and thus are under its direct control. The rest are owned and operated by franchisees, and they use that as an excuse to shield itself from legal responsibility. Corporate entity should be considered a joint employer. Now you know why that is important. Issuing rules at a Department of Labor, National Labor Relations Board, that severely restrict joint employer liability in cases of wage and overtime claims and labor law violations. Well, you're not there to protect anybody. That means that the workers are on their own. They don't matter. And the company don't care. Campaign has since highlighted a disturbing pattern of violence at work. I mean, low pay and mistreatment result when a company sees its workers as replaceable and disposable. Ooh. But these people that are doing this right now, they're determined, flat determined, to hold McDonald's responsible. Oh, boy. I'm talking about, will the left get a say in the Biden doctrine? Good Lord. What a waste of perfectly good paper. There's a lot of things that you could do that would definitely do better than this. Books in the arts, they're covering Palestine. And Palestine is never going to be resolved until Big Brother and the holding company stomp on somebody. Oh, boy. Now, I may be done with this magazine. I'm leafing through it to see what we got. I'm done with it. So, think about that. Think about not allowing the police to defend themselves, and you begin to get the picture. Here we go. National Review. The people in their government. My. This person was a student in China. The American people did not bomb our embassy. Think about that. Internet intrigue. Cook's article is why we need Section 230, Section 230, June 4th. In principle, I agree with the argument, yet I see that as a practical matter, something must be done to keep the expression of opinion and the dissemination of facts on the Internet open to all. It's called freedom of speech, First Amendment. I wonder whether Mr. Cook would like to add a codicil to his well-written piece in light of the actions instigated by the NBC reporter and Google regarding the Federalist and Zero Hedge. They're trying to cancel those people out. Why? Well, they're speaking the truth. Well, here's Charles Cook's article. He responds to this horse hockey. Charles responds, and it goes through a lot of stuff, but it's very simple. Just open everything up, as these companies are fully public. Yeah, that's right. You don't think so? You might want to do a quick look at the law. Now, they got a thing in here with a bunch of little articles about what happened during the week. And they've got an interesting take on something here. And I'm going to read it to you. The only police the Democrats want to fund these days is the thought police. That's their joke of the opening. Now, there's a lot of things that I could cover. Cultural Watch. Opening the liberal line, I suggest a crowbar or explosives. A letter signed and published by John R. MacArthur and dozens of writers, academics, and artists. Ooh. Cancel culture got some pushback in unexpected places. The free exchange of information and ideas, it said, is daily becoming more constricted. It is now all too common to hear calls for swift and severe retribution in response to perceived transgressions of speech and thought. More troubling, institutional leaders in a spirit of panicked damage control are delivering nasty and disproportionate punishments instead of considering reforms. Shortly after, Barry Weiss posted a letter of resignation in the New York Times that was nasty. It laid it all bare. Andrew Sullivan, who had been a columnist in the New York Times for 3 years, discussed why he'd been fired. His former colleagues seemed to believe, and this is increasingly the orthodoxy in mainstream media, that any writer not actively committed to critical theory in questions of race, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity is actively, physically harming coworkers merely by existing in the same virtual space. Well, you don't even have the right to exist. You're using up my oxygen. So on the left, or very far left, you get into the fun and games. you have, let's see here. Sullivan is a man of unquestionable enthusiasm. He loved George W. Bush in the Iraq War until he didn't. One love, never wavered. His two decades campaign for gay marriage. All of them, however, have noticed the noxious state of the culture. Weiss writes that letter with its thought bites and mob rages has become the Times' ultimate editor, Sullivan notes. We all live on campus now. Ooh. The norms of social media and the academy, long given over to what Orwell called smelly little orthodoxies, set the tone for artistic and intellectual institutions and increasingly American business and social life. Some of this reflects shockwaves from the killing of George Floyd, but that's in contrast to that, the entrenchment of radical visions and anti-intellectual habits has been going on for years. Congratulations to those liberal and leftists who see it, deplore it, and yearn for something better. I don't think it's going to be better. Shaky leadership against coronavirus. It ain't. Trump's done everything he has the capability to do. Oh, Robert rules. Supreme Court. Conservatives were pleased by decisions of the terms. And the court said the state's scholarship programs for children at private schools had to include religious schools and okayed the Trump administration's exemptions for employers with religious or moral objections to covering contraception and abortifacients. That's the abortion pill. All in all, conservatives are left with the sense that decades of political and legal work had yielded very poor returns. Yeah, well, Roberts has been the subject of increasing Republican complaints since 2012 when he sided with the Democrats, Democratic appointees on the court to sustain Obamacare. That needs to go. Why? It's crooked. That's why. Conservatives advanced a lawsuit alleging that the Obama administration extended health care subsidies beyond the letter of the Obamacare law. Roberts voted against them again. Oh, boy. Voted with the court's conservatives to find that the Second Amendment protects individual right to own guns and that this right applies against state governments. Conservatives blame him for the court's refusal to say just what regulations are forbidden. Yeah, Second Amendment rights and a whole bit. So the ideology here is destabilize and weaken the court, a key source of national unity and stability, as Roberts has described the federal courts, would be diminished. You're diminishing it yourself with your rulings. It has meant that the Roberts Courts is viewed as an institution that engages in political calculation, albeit of a somewhat refined sort, rather than one that strictly follows the law. See? You already went down the tubes. Oh, boy. Keystone candidates. The GOP's keystone candidates. So the ones that are being selected are being viewed as a problem. She expects to pound wild for her co-sponsors of Medicare for All legislation. That would be a disaster for America as they step down the road to socialism. Oh, well, and after socialism comes either communism or Marxism. Reform came at a cost, however, as Democrats also got a voting change that they wanted, a larger expansion of mail-in voting. Now, think about this, in which they traditionally have held a big advantage over Republicans. That's why they want the mail-in vote. Got it? Trump visited Pennsylvania and mentioned the former infantry leader as a possible candidate. I never even met or talked to him. A days later, he declared his candidacy. Opposed the choice of Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House, giving him a veneer of independence. Ooh, he took issue with Pelosi's existence. Love it. Then you got America in the world, or on the burden of it all. And this deals with John Bolton. His critics on the left have always called him a warmonger. That's dog bites man. But lately, man has been biting the dog. Trump called him a warmongering fool. All he wanted to do was drop bombs on everybody. Think about that. Think about that very carefully. How many wars can we sustain all that? I mean, you can go run out of bombs at one point or another. Is a U.S. withdrawal in the U.S. interest? Answer is no. Again, robust debate featuring various worthy opinions. Madeleine Albright, oh boy. Born in Czechoslovakia, her father was a diplomat who at the University of Denver would teach another Secretary of State known as Condoleezza Rice. Well, we have a statement here. We can't be the world's policemen. The left used to say, and that's true, we can't. We don't have the capability. If we combined Russia, China, and the United States together, we wouldn't be able to do that. Attempted shutdown of China's Christians. Beijing is exploiting the pandemic to curtail and severely and subvert their faith. Well, hate, you say, on the use and misuse of the word of the day. Hate is a word that, like inappropriate and empathy, have been worn out utterly. Hate has become just another pile of evocative but structurally useless semantic rubble. And it's all BS. Hate mail, 1951 is when that started. A loose synonym for criticism at one point, but delegitimized criticism of the progressive social program. Oh, hate crime appeared in 1988 and hate speech in 1990. Ooh, hate crime, hate speech were from the beginning ideological signals, more a matter of social affinity and aesthetics than one of moral reasoning. Oh, you mean somebody's supposed to have reason behind? Hate is now simply a magic word, part of an excommunication ritual. Oh, and then you've got the fun and games. Southern Poverty Law Center does a splendid little business in the hate space. Is happy to lump an reconstructed Christians, marriage activists, right-leaning policy groups with the neo-Nazis and skinhead gangs. All of them hate groups. For example, SPL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, classifies the Illinois Family Institute as a hate group. Illinois Family Institute advocates one man, one woman marriage and believes that the Obergefell ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court erodes the public understanding of and respect for true marriage and the natural family, i.e. mother, father, and kids, as the proper foundation of our society. Ooh. Joy Bear, traumatized by watching 11 seconds of a video from a Trump rally, demanded to know why the president was not charged with a crime for his purported hate speech. Well, we do not have hate speech crimes in the United States yet. That is the job hate does in contemporary American political discourse. It connects dissident social attitudes with crime, criticism with violence, and social conservationism with the Aryan Brotherhood. See, if you're an ecologist, you're nasty. And you have been prejudged. Targeted because they are politically nonconformists. Interest of public morality. Ooh, got to keep that morality. You got to keep all that stuff out there. You can be righteous, but you can't be religious. History also shows us mad, blind, and suicidal devotion to causes of hate. And the intellectualism, hate is loyalty in its cancerous form. Now, for the left, political necessity for hate to be simultaneously part of a fringe counterculture, one that must be fought in the streets by black-shirted and black jack-booted fascists, anti-fascists, are little distinguishable from traditional fascists and lurking beneath the mainstream culture that rejects race hatred. White nationalists, make explicit ideas that are already coded or veiled in the wider white imagination. Oh, you know, there can be no doubt that we are surrounded by communities of hate, and that notable among them are the self-satisfied cliques who, in pharistic fashion, Pharaoh, spend their days in the temple denouncing the sin of hate in others. Ooh. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Kendi, the prophet of anti-racism. Good luck with that, my man. You don't look like you got the capability to stand up to it. Don't watch One American News Network? Well, it's disorganized and fundamentally screwed up, and until they get their stuff straight, they're going to slowly decline. A lot of people, I might have to agree that with a lot of these people that, accusing elderly activist Margaret Gino, who was manhandled and injured by Buffalo's police, of being an antifa provocateur, really? I mean, it goes on and on. They want to play the fun and games that Facebook and Twitter have played. Oh, my goodness. You ever hear of Q? Well, guess what? 200,000 people. National security strategy. Reactive engagement. Ooh. Strategic real blueprint for strategic realism. And now the world recognizes that Beijing's systematic deceit and corruption of transnational organizations were exactly what the U.S. alone since 2017 had been warning about. Iran, they're in shambles. Tripartite, Alliance of America, Israel, and modern Arab states against Iran. They're standing proud, strong, and tall. They killed a general that I've heard was really great. Okay, I don't know what he's great at doing other than bringing about a military-style organized destruction of everything that disagrees with Islam. U.S. pulled out of an asymmetrical 1987 intermediate-range nuclear forces treaty that was continually violated by Moscow and increased defense spending. Exact opposite of the Obamas. The U.S. has not worked with Russia in areas of mutual advantage to curb Chinese aggression. That's got to start. Beijing wondered why it should corral North Korea on the latter's studied recklessness and feigned rogue independence from China had proved so valuable in consuming U.S. attention and resources. You see what's going on? It's all distractions. Trump was elected to the chagrin of the bipartisan foreign policy establishment, most of the permanent administrative class of the State Department and the Pentagon. Oh, you got to reject the standard view that granting trade concessions to dictatorial nations such as China is necessary to ensure their good behavior. Oh, boy. On the dubious theory that globalized wealth inevitably leads to political liberalization and consensual government. No, it didn't work that way. Not at all. The left adores transformation. Remade wishes. Culture is going to be remade to their wishes. Hey, you like hamburgers? We're going to transform them. Now you eat lab-grown pseudo-beef with ground-up insects. Yes, we're transforming the American diet because meat is patriarchal. Ooh, causes climate change. And also, mustard is racist. Mustard? I mean, this guy does a really good job. Food is political. If you're saying you want to ignore systemic paradigms inherent in your diet, next you'll want to culturally appropriate the Palestinians and have a hamburger on rye bread. Ooh. You're a silly straw man, conjured for the purposes of this column, and I'm tired of you. The suburbs are responsible for siphoning resources out of the inner city and concentrating opportunity in wealthier, whiter areas. Really? Abolish the suburbs. The progressive hate the suburbs. All those people living their pathetic lives with quiet desperation in ticky-tacky boxes. Mommy's taking pills. Daddy is spying on the babysitter sunbathing next door. And all those other banal cliches fiercely believed by people in dense cities who live in a closet and make dinner on a hot plate. I mean, in a macro sense, the progressives would transform the suburbs and make them beholden to large cities and their political beliefs. True progress, true Prague wants to abolish them in fact. However, exactly would this be accomplished? It's quite simple. Pass laws. Require everybody to move to a flat in a building in the city, probably some huge gray concrete monster that stains in the rain as if a giant dog had just left its mark. And then raise everything outside the city limits and make it into communal agricultural plots. Done and done. You might say, I own that home. Well, property is theft. As we people who like to steal your property, like to say. You'll get free housing in the People's Block C-047, subsection 2. Since housing is a human right, you'll be freed from the yoke of the mortgage and find a new, rewarding life as in a communal society that won't let you retreat behind the privilege of individualism. Oh, boy. Wonderful. We're transforming now. We're transforming how you get around. What statuary is permitted? what sports teams are named, what the streets are called, the definition of citizenship, the electoral college, the definition of man and woman, and the parameters of acceptable opinion. Now, in other words, you ain't going along with us, you're going to get your whatever knocked in the dirt. The unrest in America's cities will cease when Obama is elected. Or, let's see, Obama? Yeah, Vice President. Anyway, the unrest in America's cities when he is elected because the masked political sociopaths who want to burn down federal buildings will be placated by the election of a career politician so devoid of core conviction, he makes a slender reed look like an old-growth sequoia. Nothing will be transformed. Back in your box, Marxist pawns. They'll let you know when you're needed again. I mean, Biden is really a dink, and there ain't much that can put him in the good graces of anybody. He's already done and said too much. The 40 years of fun and games didn't produce squat. 8 years of Democrats being in charge didn't produce anything for the people. Nothing. Take a look at it. It's, you know, my. Happy Warrior. What's in a nickname? Today's woke activist. The one scouring Wikipedia ferret out historical injustices no one really remembers, on the other hand, are sanctimonious, imperious, undereducated, censorious, and authoritarian. Ooh, if they succeed, there's going to be a bunch of deaths. They won't make life better for anyone, but they'll end up stripping American culture of its wonderful peculiarity and historical flavor. Yeah, that's them statues they're tearing down. If you keep telling people their self-worth is found in victimhood and outrage is a moral imperative, they might start believing you. Especially if you repeat a lie often enough, some people start believing it. It is not the impoverished Baltimore inner city, but in the whitest of white Maryland suburbs that a bunch of historically illiterate students have gathered more than 1,000 signatures to rename Winston Churchill High School because of the man's alleged crimes against humanity. Ooh. In the college town of Chapel Hill, that activist rally for the University of North Carolina to rid its teams of the nickname Tar Heels. Apparently, it conjures up thoughts of antebellum South, and so is associated with white supremacy. Ooh. It is not the impoverished descendants of cotton pickers who pressured high-end grocer Trader Joe's to start changing the names of their ethnic food. Trader Joe's getting the finger. Trader Joe says, hey, this ain't no way you're doing that to me. You want to force that stuff on somebody? Try it with our people that do something for a living instead of just simply objecting to everything. Well, I told you I'd give you some intel, and here's what it is. We have an active alert status letter that has been sent out for our military. You want to know to stand behind what the Justice Department is about to do to our so-called untouchables. Bear that in mind. I said spin cycle. Have you ever noticed what spin cycle really does to your clothes? It swirls them around so bad, so hard, and so completely that most of the water comes out. That's the ideology of spin cycle. Think about a total and complete cleansing of all of the nasty fun and games everybody has been so concerned about for so long. Well, guess what? I'm going to leave that one sit for a minute. You need to digest it. Oh, my goodness. 18 comments. Well, I'm going to hit the comment thing. Ooh, clunk. Susie Stanton sure has a goosed owl expression. That's worthy of honorable mention. What the hell's going on here? I want to view the comments. I'm on. All right, here we go. Wait, listen, let's go get the bad guys. And they show a couple people with machine guns and whatnot. We'll see how this goes. Oh, boy. Roger put in a supply of guns and some lock and load. Get ready. Craig, are we finished with your solid-state energy device? No, I'm still working on it. Looking forward to another great show. Well, I'm glad you are, Jonathan. I think we had a pretty good one. Christopher, what happened with President Trump? He is going to disappear for a while. No, not exactly. He's stepping back from something that could be dangerous. That's what he's doing. He's not hiding anywhere. Deep State will try to get to him. Yeah, well, they ain't going to have much success. Diane, are the energy devices passing the test? Yes. There's a couple of things that I'm working on, and when I get done with working on what I'm looking at, so, you know, we'll see how it goes. Ooh, Christopher, are the good ETs allowed, or do they make friends with individual humans to interact in person? It's a combination. What would you like to be able to do that is or not allowed at this time? I'd like to transition. It ain't happened yet. Barbara, I have many friends on the ships. Yes, so do I. Shelby, ETs are bringing the replicator soon. Is that September? I realize the poorest are first. Does that mean that this will not be a humanitarian project? No. It's going to be humanitarian, but those who are in the worst need get things first. 4D will happen between fall and winter solstice. What can I say? Yup. You're not going to like that, Shelby. I can't help it. I'm not allowed to give out dates. I was surprised Wilcox and some billionaires were close to manufacturing hover cars at a reasonable price. They're not. I was thinking humanitarians might take care of this. What do I think? I think if you use my power source, you can have a hover car that'll go to the moon and back. Aryan Brotherhood is based here in Anaconda, Montana. They are pretty much running joke here. Have another group that hangs also. Same story, different joke. Yeah, that's true. These people can come up as funny. Jonathan, episode 2 of Access Point is out there. Yeah, he put the link in there. But he was trying to get prisoners arrested in Illinois. Yeah, well, there's going to be a lot of pushes, okay? And they're not going to necessarily be in the right direction, as you will see after this hits the fan. Search DigiMe. You may have a real eye-opener. Ooh, Lizzie Stanton, DigiMe Chief Client Officer. Ooh, CCTV, huh? Uh-huh. Well, I'm not too enthused with CCTV or the other horse manure that people like to propound. Now, in light of everything that's been going on, people need to know that we have a humongous load of individuals that are looking to participate. These are people that are experienced in a whole bunch of things. We have people on standby to operate water plants, purification plants, electrical grids, you name it. So everything's in place. And that didn't happen until just about give or take 3 weeks ago. And so you got to look at things like they're about to pop. Which they are. Anyway, I hope everybody enjoyed the show. I'll get more intel that I'm allowed to release in the very near future. Now, keep watching and see what happens in terms of everybody going on the spin cycle routine. Prepare. Get ready for Civil War II. It may visit you. Those dinks went 30 miles outside of Portland and started riots in a suburban neighborhood. So, you know, they're being true to their word. They said they'd be out there. Best thing I can tell you right now is go out there and get her done.